Say amen. Well, this is the last week of the altar versus altar, and I want to preach my altar versus altar part two. And I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter number 18. 1 Kings 18. And I'm reading from verse number 20. First Kings 18, verse 20. That verse 20 said, So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Take note, one man of God versus 450 prophets of Baal. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on the wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. Hallelujah. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And the angel said unto the prophets of Baal, and Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning until noon, saying, Oh Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass as at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied unto the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Say amen. So verse 30, and Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as will contain 2 measures of seed. And he put wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid it on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt offering, and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art the God of Israel, that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that these people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord is God. The Lord is God. Amen. I must admit that it's a very long passage, but I wanted you to get the whole picture of what happened on Mount Carmel. When we went to Israel, we went to that very spot where this event took place. And we prayed and all that. And next year, when you go to Israel, you will also go to Mount Carmel. Say amen. So it was very clear that Israel or the people were torn between two opinions. They were not too sure. A little bit of God, a little bit of fetish. A little bit of God, a little bit of juju. A little bit of God, a little bit. So it was hurting God. Say amen. Amen. It was making God angry. Hey, Helen, you're also welcome. Say you too, you guys were away. You're welcome back home. Good. It was disturbing, and there are people still in our churches who are practicing the same thing. A little bit of God, a little bit of fetish. A little bit of God, a little bit of this. They want to add to God. God is not all powerful. I need to add to God. I want to assist God. God is too slow. May the Lord forgive us our sins for adding to him. We want something quick. We want something fast. So a little bit of church, a little bit of somewhere else. For somebody to go and shake something, for somebody to go and do something. Somebody, you see, we are Africans and we love superstitious things. We like things that are hoo-hoo-hoo. How do you say hoo-hoo in English? Scary things. When you see, when you enter a room, and as soon as you enter the room, you see a basket suspended. Aha, I mean, there's power here. When you see the basket turning around, and the person shaking himself, aha. You don't like protocol, systematic theology, teaching, line upon line, precept upon precept, waiting on the Lord for him to come. No. You want quick fix. So we are adding to God. A little bit of God. So the prophet came and said, how long will you be torn between two opinions? How long? Will you live a confused life? How long will you compare God to idols? How long will you have a little bit of God and a little bit of fetish? How long? So the prophet challenged the people. I said, today, this is what he said, today we must settle this matter. Once and for all. Who is the Lord? Who is the true God? Am I talking to somebody here? How long? Tell somebody how long? And I will prove to you that when they talk about a little bit of God, a little bit of fetish, we are not only talking about fetish. I will show you who your God has become. Your second God. I will tell you who your second God. It will shock you that your car has become your second God. Your job has become your second God. You are worshiping success more than God. You are worshiping money more than God. Your work has consumed you more than God. I know a church member who on Sunday, the wife came and told me, why am I not seeing your husband in church with you? He said, daddy, I've talked there. I said, what is it? He said, it is on Sunday he takes his brand new car to the washing bay. Wow. It is on Sunday morning he drives his brand new car to the, when he didn't have a car, he was in church. Hoya, 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 hoya. When he got the car, it is on Sunday in the morning. He comes to drop them. And he's wearing shorts. So that car has become your idol. It is idolatry. Don't worship anything apart from God. The things you have, your TV, they are things. But there is only one and only one true God. Say amen. Say amen. Have a good job, have a good home, have a beautiful home, whatever. But when it has to do with God, when it has to do with the things of God, it comes first. It comes first. More than everything else. Because it is in Him you live. It is in Him you move. It is in Him you have your being. You can, look, let me tell you something. An empire, but let me just an example. That you can go to bed tonight and not wake up tomorrow morning. Yeah. Haven't we heard it before? Yeah. My pastor, one of my pastors, that is where he sits. The wife is here, not you. You are living for 100 years. This pastor, I saw him on, what? Sunday. I ate wache with him at the basement. We planned, how do you call it? Weddings and things. I said, I'm going to Amsterdam. There are weddings and things on Monday. By Monday, 7 p.m., he was pronounced dead. We were together on Sunday. By Monday, 7 p.m., he was pronounced dead. So, my sister, nothing must come between you and your God. Nothing. Nothing. Your brother, your sister, your car, your career, your job is nothing. God can hold your nose in the night. So that's it. Get up and go to your work now. Get up and go and drive your car. Get up and go and do whatever you want to do. He will take your breath away from you. And I will show you a scripture that proves that. Say amen. So, Elijah, you see, the anger of Elijah was the anger of God. That how long will you be comparing me, measuring me, moving? Do futu futu 11. Do futu futu 11. For how long? I see people here every time in their bank uniforms, in their whatever uniform, coming to Tuesday, Wednesday, rehearsal, whatever. They haven't been home. They have three children. They are here rehearsing, whatever. You can see that God has become the central focus of their lives. Say amen. So, they build the altar. They cut themselves at the point. They call upon their God. You see, when Amaga and Abagahoho, when they meet, they will know who is powerful. When God meet other gods, then you know who is powerful. And their God ran away. Their gods ran away. See, I hear you. Yeah. And they called until they were now possessed. They were cutting themselves. And nothing was happening. See, amen. Now, let me show you the scripture I want to show you. Verse 30 is my scripture for the day. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And this morning, I'm talking about repairing your broken down altars. He repaired. Before the fire consumed the sacrifice, he had to repair his broken down altar. There are people here, your altar is broken down. Yeah. I've come for you. Your altar. And your first altar that is broken down is your family altar. Your family altar. Your family is not together with you. Fathers have abandoned their altars and are running after other things. A father who is the king and the priest and the prophet of the house has abandoned his family. Neglected the altar. Guess what? Comes to church. Pepe. Don't make a mistake. He comes to what? Church. Pepe. But his family is not together. You are the king. That means you rule in your domain of the house. You are the priest of your house. You lead your family to what? To the altar. You are the prophet. What do? You point your finger at the direction of the family. That is the role of a father. You have abandoned the wife comes to church or doesn't come to church. Children are on their phones in their bedroom. I don't want to go to church today. So everybody is on his own. But I remember early in our days when myself and my three brothers were very young, 10, 12, whatever, it was automatic. Automatic that on Sunday you are going to church. Automatic. It's like you don't have, it's like, what are you thinking about? Sunday we are bathing, we are wearing our clothes and everything, and we are following our father to church. No discussion. There is nothing like, would you, don't be asking that nonsensical question to your children. Don't ask questions to them. You must go to church. Period. That is a father leading his family. It means that the household goes to tree service. The children go to children's church. The youth go to youth church. And you and your wife, you are seated by your wife in church on Sunday. Seated by your wife. Except your wife is in protocol, like my resident pastor is in protocol and all that. Your wife is not. One day I asked somebody, why is that you don't save to your wife? He said, my wife is in the choir. I said, that explains it. But ideally, it must be husband, wife. Read my lips. Husband, wife. Your husband, your wife shouldn't sit here and you are sitting there. You know, we do white Sunday. What do you call it? All white Sunday. And I saw one lady wearing white with her two children coming here. I think they came to the altar here. Then I saw the husband also wearing white. It's a wrong thing. It is wrong. The four of you should kneel at the altar wearing white together. Holding hands together. It's a bad example that husband is kneeling here and the wife is kneeling there with two children. Don't say that, oh, when we came late, there was no space. No, it's been a practice for a long time. That is why it was so automatic for you. It must be husband, wife. Abegashiti, husband, that's the wife. Akimbola, husband, that's the wife. Helen, husband, wife. Who else is husband, wife here? Steve, husband, wife. Stanley, husband. The wife is here to come. Okay, to wife is in worship.
But she should finish the worship and come and sit here. She should finish the worship and come and sit here. Come and sit here.
After the worship.
Husband, wife. What are you doing? You are building a family altar. So all those who come to church, and cut on baby. It's not of God. And I would tell me, chair, sir, we shaking. And they be allowed to handkerchief. Now we call altar. Now get me try me chair. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? It's husband, wife. The church is a family. If you are not married, you should be fiancé and fiance. Agrobeda, ne fianopa. So if you are sitting by your fiancé, fianopa, just agrobeda. Practice. People will do so that the church is made up of families. Your mother who is 80 years is at the ever service. Your children who are 11 and 12 are at the children's service. Your youth are in the youth service. And you are here with your... Even if you are fighting, sit together. Because that's where there is healing. Because by all means, the marriage court will come that way. A bit foul, baby. Marriage courts. Sometimes when I make a small mistake, then my wife will be writing some things. Then when she goes there, then now in the court, you know, no, I hear casa entry. I say, oh, this court, yeah, now person to make casa. Then I say, I will catch you in my sermon. Or the court did entry me. But all is what? Is to repair the altar. Is to repair the altar. For fire to fall on your altar, it must first be repaired. Repair your family altar. Unify the family. The man, unify the family. Bring the family together. Once in a while, hold your hands as a family and pray together. For the family that prays together stays together. The reason why fire has not fallen on your altar is because the altar is what? Broken down. Your family is broken down. Husband has left. And you know something? When women, listen to me. When husband ran away, don't still break the family altar. Keep the rest of the family left. You and your three children continue to come to church. Continue. Let the person who has run away. Let him go and be with his new wife. We have seen men left their legitimate wives and went with new wives. And brother, most of the time, it doesn't work. Because it is a matter of time. And I will be with the true colors of the new girl. It's a matter of time. Before you realize that, nowhere cool. People have written on their trotro, nowhere cool. They know why they have written things like that. Nowhere cool. Afiaraka mafau. Afiaraka mafau. It means that nowhere cool. Hekwe joko. Baby Anjoye. You say you have a troublesome wife. Go try the girl. You say something. You see, a girl who wants you, know, will do everything. Chuku chuku boom boom, chuku chuku boom boom, chuku chuku boom boom. Onya uya, it will be true colors. Uya de dao. Hey, ura, ube wada, kofie. Pe ubi abe win, kofie. Meanwhile, you're lying down. That's a girl. But the wife will hold you, call 911, pick a car, drive you to the hospital. A girlfriend will say, please, oh, God, so your distance, sir. A girl wants what is in your pocket. A girlfriend is what is in your pocket. If you like, get broke and see. Say amen. So let's repair. The Bible says, the Bible speaks, Matthew 18, 19 and 20. Matthew 18, 19, 20. I hope I'm right. Matthew 18, 19 and 20 said, again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So you and your husband and your two children, you are more than three. There is in the midst of them. There is the altar. Say, I hear you, Pastor. If two of you shall agree, the reason why sometimes your business and things are not working is because there is a separation. You don't agree on anything. 80% of your time you are quarreling in the house. There is disagreement, there is quiet, there is fighting. So you don't agree on anything. So that altar, today is Father's Day. Fathers, repair the altar that's broken down. And then take note, fathers, you know that fathers are very adventurous. Fathers were fathers when they were boys. So in your boyhood, you could be born if you were baby. You could be born to baby. You could be born to baby. Yeah, before we worry, Papa. But go, don't abandon that boy. Don't abandon that girl. That girl, that boy was innocent until you impregnated the mother. Now you have had a child with him or her. You have abandoned them. You have abandoned them. And the boy is struggling in the village. And you are here in Accra with your new wife, parading your new wife in front of us. Meanwhile, there is a boy and the mother abandoned somewhere. Go look for that boy. Go look for them. Send them money. Take care of them. Repair that altar. You have spoiled the girl's life. Meanwhile, look at the bossy you bossed there before you slept with her. Look at the way you chase her like a dog looking for another dog to mate with. When a dog wants to mate with another dog in a certain house, you see that the dog will parade the place. Just the dog is lasting. That's how guys chase girls. They will go, they are hovering around. But as soon as you mate with her and there is a child, then you run away. You become like Amnon and Tamar. When is it Amnon? Slept with Tamar. The hatred he had for her was more than the love he had for her. The hatred. You don't want to see that girl again. As soon as they appear in your house, you have broken that altar. Go repair it. Yes, sir. You are struggling in Accra. I'm prophet. My business is not working. My business is not working. It's because your altars are broken. That child didn't ask to be born. That child doesn't know what happened between you and the mother. That child doesn't know before he realized he was born. And the child has been born in suffering, heat rashes, sickness, running nose, temperature, convulsion. Because chicken pox, because of the bad nature, the home where he was born, Nothing. You don't send them money. You don't mumble them. You have blocked the girl's number. It doesn't matter how many times you are kneeling here. Go repair that altar. And tell your wife, look, when I was young, I was very adventurous. I went and met a girl, B, and a lot of things happened. A lot of things happened before I met you. And if I'm born in Chemi, why? I've got a child. He's about 7 years old. The mother, they live in Wenchi somewhere. So before I came to Accra, if I'm born in Chemi, why? Let her know. And let her know that you are mumuing them. Every month, pay school fees, pay them, rent a place for them. Rent a place for them. Rent a. Let me tell you something. Abua only do you know. I'm in the prime. One day, that abandoned boy will become somebody. Am I talking to somebody here? Yeah. Altars of the family. Me, I've suffered myself. We have suffered broken altars before. And I know how it can affect you when you have a father who refuses to pay your fees. Who doesn't look after you anymore. It's a very devastating thing. That's why today's Father's Day. Fathers, take hold of the family. Bring your wife back. Bring the children back. Repair the altar. You go and cut your hair. You are coming with me to church. Bring them until they are of age. And give your daughter away with a lot of pride. With joy. Walk the aisle. A certain man of God that I know very well. Very, very, very nice. Very, very powerful. Very, very nice man of God. Abandoned his wife and his children. Abandoned them like daylight. Left and went and married another woman. Now these children and the wife has become our burden. One day the children came to my house and said, Daddy, we want to see you. I said, what is it? They said, we want to change our surname. I said, to what? We want to carry your name. You are the one who have looked after us all this time. You want to carry? I said, oh, no, it's okay. Forgive your father. One day he will come around. One day I was there when I saw my phone ringing. And I picked. And here was this guy. Reverend Steve. I said, Reverend Steve, now open me deep, baby. There I said. Reverend Steve. Friend is saying, and yes, sir. And yes, sir. Reverend Steve, and yes, sir. But 1212B. I said, my friend, either you have something sensible to tell me or get out of my life. Because you have abandoned your children for years. Since they were in whatever. And we have cared for them, but they have finished university. Yeah. You are now calling me saying that, Reverend Steve, because Enkoye, oh, baby, I'll call Enkoye. Now he went and bought fridge, TV, some things to give to the children. They just said, we don't carry your whatever. We carry it away. We don't want it. We don't want to have anything to do with you. I told them, it doesn't matter. It's your father. I said, Daddy, don't go there. Daddy, don't go there. Because what this man has taken us through. So that is the pain of children who have been abandoned by fathers. That is the pain of children. You have no clue. The child that is now 17 years. You gave birth to her 17 years old. And the child is 17. The child is harboring pain in his heart against you. You don't know why you are struggling. Why things are not working. It's because a mother and a son have cursed you. And a curse without a cause will land. A curse with a cause will land. A curse with a cause will land. That's why you are suffering. Reverend, are you trying to tell me that my son and my other woman have cursed? Yes, I'm telling you that they have cursed you. Because they have cursed you. Yeah, because you are crying. All their tears is on you. Repair that altar. Repair the altar you have abandoned. It's broken down. Go fix it. You don't talk to your wife. You see, I wonder why a man can be there and for 6 weeks, 10 weeks, you don't talk to your wife. Then you're going to feel her. Way by now, way. Helen, brother, me. Helen, come. back, now we see. Hello, Sabra. In the same house. What kind of nonsense is that? The same house. Then you see the husband coming. We chop money at the table. No, so we are coffee. So the two baby. Yeah. If you like, go and take the chop money. If you don't like. Whatever it is, that is the problem in the house. Fix it. You are the father. Repair it. Sit down with your wife. Apologize to you. You apologize to me. I apologize to you. Me, what I hate cry in my house. You're not talking to me. You're not talking to me in my house. Hey. Because I can't survive without my wife talking to me. I have to talk to you because there are so many things we have to talk about. How come you're not talking to me? Because you're angry. I passed a comment. One day I went and passed some comment. Be what I went through. Manui Ehaji. I've learned my lesson. Enemy kasa. Enemy won't make kasa. I can't. Since I married for 35 years, there have not been a day or two that I'm not talking to my wife. Like 2 days we are not talking. It doesn't happen. 35 years of marriage, 2 days we are not talking. That day now I am talking to that day now, by evening we have to solve it. We have to solve it. Either you apologize to me or I apologize to you. Then we make love. To cement the forgiveness. We consume, we consummate to cement the forgiveness. Not 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, 6 months. We are not talking. The altar is broken. Fix it. Am I in church or I've gone somewhere? Look at this scripture. First Timothy, chapter number 5, verse 8. Look at it. 1 Timothy 5, 8. If any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. You know who an infidel is? Somebody who is an unbeliever. They say you are worse than an unbeliever. Tell somebody, fix your altar. The second thing you must fix, the second altar you must repair is your worship. Your worship is broken down. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 19. Deuteronomy 8:19. Look at it. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. Are you worshiping some other things apart from God? What are you worshiping? Who do you worship? What? Who do you worship and what do you worship? Don't worship your job. Don't worship your success. Don't worship your new car. Don't worship it. Worship God. And proskuneos. It means bow your head to the ground. Lay flat before the God and worship him. There are people in this church, the day they don't come to the altar, they know they didn't come to church. The day I don't see them at this altar, I mean that day they didn't come to church. They are always at the altar worshiping. There are also some people here, since they joined the church 9 years ago, they have never come to the altar before. 9 years ago. Only the wife. Jiska. Koyo brand. Now, Pastor Sise, was saying, you ain't share white. You ain't a head. You ain't bra altar. Maybe I'm in call altar. You are always sending people to the altar. Come yourself. Kneel down and worship. No matter how big you are, you are a tiny little Lilliput before God. No matter how big you are, you are a tiny little dot before God.
You are a tiny little piece of rag before God. You are a little dot in front of God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and worship Him. Humble yourself by the side of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Humble yourself by the side of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Come on now. He will lift you up. Come on now. He will lift you up. Oh, humble yourself by the side of the Lord, and He will lift you up. 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 Humble yourself by the side of the Lord, and He will lift you up. 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 Humble yourself by the side of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Say amen. Humble yourself and kneel at the altar. You are a managing director, you are a banker, you are a estate real developer, whatever. When you come into the house of the Lord, humble and kneel before the Lord and worship Him, and the Lord will lift you up. Say, I hear you, Pastor. The Bible said, in Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 16. Look at what the Bible says. The Bible said, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And serve other gods and worship them. Next verse. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and He shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, and lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth thee. Serving other gods, going to your hometown, and worshiping trees and rivers and Paro, that you are giving your worship to a tree, to a river, to a family god, Your worship is to the Lord at the altar in the temple, and the worship and the altar in your house or any place you call church, but not to a shrine, not to a tree or a river. You have grown past that thing. You are not part of that group of people. Say amen. Are you there or you're not there? The Bible said in Psalms 5 verse 7, look at it. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy and in thy fear, will I worship towards the holy temple. In the multitude of thy mercy will I, and in the fear will I worship towards the holy place. Come in the multitude of His mercy. Say amen. Psalms 22 verse 27. Look at it. And the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nation shall worship before Him. All these people who are worshiping the Lord, they will all come and worship God one day. They will all come and worship God. So, please, repair your altar of worship. The third one you should repair is your altar of praise. Your altar of what? Praise. Your praise. Daniel 5:2.
Daniel 5:2. Daniel 5:2. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes and his wife and his concubine drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods, small letter, the gods of gold and of silver and of brass and of iron and of wood and of stone. The next verse. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. When they praised silver and they praised God, God was jealous instantly, and a finger appeared. My praise will I share with no one. My glory will I share with no man. They were praising gods, and a finger appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall. They brought astrologers, they brought Chaldeans, they brought people to interpret. Nobody could interpret. Then they remembered that there is a man called Daniel. They brought Daniel. Daniel came and saw the writing on the wall and said, you, your father Nebuchadnezzar, rose up in power, killed people, did so many things. And the Lord drove him out. And he stayed 7 years like a beast in the field. And the Lord restored him. And all these things, you knew it. Because you know it. And you have now followed the steps of your, and you are worshiping and praising other things. That is why the handwriting came. I don't need your gift. Many take off as it means that you have put you on the balance system. You have been found wanting. You have finished with your kingdom. Bye bye. Have a good day. He left. Say amen. Praise God. There are people who hate praises. Am I your praises, Navy? I am a pensem. Just the word. Just the word. Just the word. Just the word. You don't like praises. Yeah. You must love praises. You must love worship. Praise privately in your car. Sometimes my wife is here. She'll tell you the truth. She'll tell you. When I'm going to the bathroom, I put my phone. I'll go on YouTube. Then I like, who will I like to praise with today? Then I choose any of those songs, and I'm dancing, I'm praising, I'm worshiping in the bathroom, I'm singing along. Sometimes my wife told me that, why do you always want to play? I said, I don't know the words much. So as they are praising, I'm telling God that their praises are my praises to you. Yeah. Are you there? Praise God. In the morning, when you are going to work, praise God. In the afternoon, praise God at noon. Praise God. Praise Him in the firmament of the heart. Praise Him everywhere. Praise God for the things He has done, for how far He has brought you. Yahudi mia bedui, waye irisada, waye irisada, ajinkwe. Yahudi mia bedui, debena benfama wo. My year is under a dubre. Yahudi me abedui. Why a year is under? Why a year is under a jigwe? Yahudi me abedui. Dear Bena me yemao. My year is under a dubre. Make a man a mento. I saw Ben a missa. I sent Ben a minta. A dumre, mia wudi mia bedui, kebe na mi yema wo, a ye iri sada a dumre. E chume na mincho, a sabe na mika, a sembe na mika, a dumre. Mia wudi mia bedui, kebe na mi yema wo, a ye iri sada a dumre. Hey, and you men are meant to assemble and I miss out. And I miss out. I do rain. I would give me a victory. They better be in my home. This simple song too, you don't want to sing it. You don't want to dance. Yeah. Go on, praise medley. Go on, type on your iTunes or whatever, praise medley, and let your machine, your phone, praise God for you, and dance in your room. Thank God for that fire has brought you. And you men are meant to. Asau ben amen sao. Asem ben amen ka. Adum re. Ya udi miya betui. Ye ben amen ye ma wo. Wa ye yiri sada. Adum re. Adum ra. What kind of dancing, what kind of singing, what kind of dancing will I do to thank you for how far you have brought me? Don't you owe God that? I don't like prayers. I don't like all this jumping. It makes me sweat. It will spoil my makeup. Forget about your makeup. Forget about your makeup. When you go and see that makeup again. Praise him, proskuneos. Worship him. Early in the morning. Early will I rise and seek thee. So your praise altar is broken down. You don't remember the last time you praised God. You don't remember the last time you danced before the Lord. David, having seen what the Lord has done for, started dancing before the Lord. Dancing before the Lord. And Michal stood at the balcony of her house and said, look at what the whole king dancing almost naked before Israel. When the Lord heard it, something happened to the Lord. Just said, the praise that I'm seeing, you are jealous of it. Shut her womb. You won't have any child again. Never criticize somebody dancing before the Lord. You're careful, Kakra. Never criticize somebody's dance, somebody praising God. I have a son in this house, and he's an Igbe guy, and he praises God the Igbe way. Where are two handkerchiefs? Sing the same song. This is how he dances. You can see that the Igbe in him has come. Yeah. And he dances here every time. He dances here every time. With his two hands. And he's not ashamed. He doesn't look at anybody. Look, if you come here, it is an adoa you want to dance or kete or whatever. Go ahead and do it. Because you only know what God has done in your life and how far he has brought you. Praise him. So that great people, when they come around here, the same song. Don't mind anybody. Don't look at anybody. It is before the Lord you are dancing. Because only you know how far, how much God has saved you. This guy, he's been dancing like that since he was a student in cafeteria. They showed him on the screen. Show it again. Meanwhile, that guy is a very, very powerful banker. He's a very, very great guy. He will leave all his greatness and two handkerchiefs. And all that he gave him will come out. I see you praising God in your home, at the marketplace, everywhere. Those of you dance Adoa, just use the same song. And that's Adoa before the Lord. Say amen. As I close, the next altar, you must repair, is your altar of the word of God. Your word is gone down. Look for that word. Start imbibing in the word of God. If I had time, I would tell you the importance of God's word. Read God's word every day. Read God's word every day. Read God's word every day. That is your altar. Read God's word every day. And then finally, the altar of your tithes, first fruits, and offerings. Don't dodge tithes. Don't dodge. There are people who on tithe, they don't allow one to come to church. How can I give my tenth? So your giving altar is gone down. Your giving altar is gone down. Your offerings, your tithe, your first fruits. It's an altar. Your giving to God is an altar. And it's broken down. And you don't know why you are struggling. You don't know why you are struggling. Only 25% of people in this church pay tithe. Only 25%. The rest don't pay tithe. So your tithe, your first, your offering is gone down. You are tipping God. You tip God. You tip God. You tip God. God doesn't need your tip. God wants your offering. God wants your offering. So repair your tithes altar. You see a very important person coming for communion and he's carrying the pouch. How can you be carrying a pouch? Carry your tithe. Carry it to your thanksgiving. Carry everything. What God has done for you, a tenth of it, a tenth of what God has given belongs to God. Let's all repair the altar of our tithe, offerings, first fruits, and see whether God will not take care of you. God bless you. I love you all.